Let's turn in the Word of God to Job, chapter 20. Job chapter 20, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 29. Job chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of God, so let's give our attention to them. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, Where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned, it is the gall of asps within him. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asps. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not, surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him, and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. It is drawn and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God." Those are God's words. Job, you remember, revealed a wonderful confession of faith in the last chapter, putting his hope and trust in the Redeemer, as we must all do. And now Zophar responds to him. He seems to not even hear what Job has just said. It attacks him quickly and hotly, and just really it's a blow after blow after blow. And really his focus is much like Bildad's a couple chapters ago, and that of the certain misery of the wicked and the ruin that comes upon them that is certain. That any prosperity, he begins, any prosperity of the wicked is for a short time. And then in verses 10 through 29, he continues to go after Job, and that the misery he is now in, that Job is in, only shows that he is under the wrath of God for his sin. And beloved, that which is certainly true of the wicked, their prosperity is only for a short time, and their ruin will certainly come. But merely seeing a man or a woman or family in dire straits losing everything doesn't mean they are wicked. For such things are brought upon the righteous all the time. Zophar believes Job to be a very wicked man without any doubt in his heart. And yet the only evidence presented is not Job's heart, not Job's actions, not Job's words. It is alone what has come upon Job in great affliction. And we already know, as we go back, that the Lord has deemed Job righteous. We already heard last Lord's Day, Job is seeking and looking to with all of his hope in the Redeemer and Jesus Christ. And so while Zophar is right about the wicked, if he was describing the wicked, this is a good summary of that. His application of that upon Job is itself evil. And so we need to be careful not to go the same way as Zophar upon our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here warned about this. Just because wickedness, or we might say affliction, has come upon them does not mean they are wicked. It does not mean they are in sin. It could mean they're in sin. It could mean they're wicked. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. Remember the blind man, the man born blind, John 9? Was it for him or his parents that he, for their sin that he was born blind? No, it was for the glory of the Lord. Instead, we're to encourage examination of people's hearts when they're under affliction, our own hearts when we're under affliction. And of course, mourn with those who are so grieving and point them continually to Jesus Christ the Redeemer. But we ought to also see here that this is what will happen to the wicked. That you might, if you are wicked, you might be prosperous, but it's only for a short time. And you will come to great ruin and darkness and pains under God's judgment forever. And so the only hope, just as for Job, the only hope is in coming to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And you are to do so turning from your sins and believing in Him by faith. Trusting, as we'll hear this evening, trusting and submitting, bowing unto Christ the King. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise. We're thankful that this is Your Word, and it teaches us Your ways. It also teaches us that which is against Your ways, that which is sin. And so we give You praise for this, that we might see right from wrong, righteousness from unrighteousness and sin, that we might even see Your justice and the great comfort we have that all of our enemies, those of the wicked, even the great enemy Satan himself, will be judged rightly at the right time. And so we put our comfort in that, not seeking our own vengeance, but turning from it unto You, who will seek out vengeance for all of Your people, for Christ Your Son. And the Father, we pray that You would, through it, bring Your name great glory, unending glory. That we would know, as we were taught in Romans 9, that we would know just how wondrous and great Your mercy is. That You have not, according to Your eternal decree, You have not allowed us to remain in our sins, who are Your people. Not in our wickedness, not in our hardness of heart. But You showered Your mercy upon us in Christ Your Son and granted us Your grace and poured that grace, your grace, upon us, your favor, that we would have life. And we are undeserving of this. And yet, Father, you have shown pity and compassion upon us who are the most undeserving. Father, forgive us for our ingratitude and our lack of giving thanks. And Father, we give you thanks for all that you've done, for you are a gracious God, a loving God who's eternally loved us, your people, your bride. And Father, we pray for the souls of those who are here this morning, those who are outside of Christ. Turn their souls to you by your Spirit. Send your Spirit in power and change the hearts of each one who has not committed their way and bowed the knee to Christ. And so, Father, sanctify our souls. Put that wickedness and hatred and anger out of our hearts towards our neighbor, as we'll hear this morning. And Father, cleanse your bride. Wash us with the pure milk of the Word. And grant us the strong meat as well. As we long to know the doctrines of the Scriptures, your Word, Father, we acknowledge, as Hebrews 6 teaches us, it is only that we will grow in knowledge and wisdom if you permit us to. And so, Father, grant us that knowledge and understanding and wisdom of how to live godly lives for Christ Jesus. Make us to be more zealous and bold. Make us to be more gentle and loving. Make us to be men and women and children of the truth. And to value our fellow man. While we pray for our congregation this morning, we ask that you would provide for us financially. Pray that you provide elders, deacons from amongst us or from those you would bring in. We pray for godly men, godly fathers and husbands who know your Word and who would serve you. Make who such people are clear to the elders and to the congregation. Father, we pray that you would bless our door-to-door evangelism ministry that we have here. We ask that you would bless our evangelism, which we go out even from our own homes to our neighbors, those we come in contact with, our co-workers. Father, grant the gospel, the good news, to be proclaimed and be heard, not only in ears, but in hearts, and received. And received with faith. And so send your Spirit, not only to work in our hearts, but to work in the hearts of those that we speak to as your instruments. Our Father, we do pray that you would be with Kendall and Carla as they're in Columbia, and you would grant them safety in their travel home. Pray that you would bless them with the congregation there, and that the congregation would be blessed by them. Our Father, we ask that you would be with Phil. You would heal his leg, his ankle. You'd give him the the strength to endure the pain of healing. That he would be healed quickly and soon would be able to walk without crutches and would need no pain medicine. And pray that you would be with him and his family as they need your help. So help them. Father, we ask that you'd be with Arian today as she's not hasn't slept well because of the oak mites that she received in your providence. Pray that she would trust you. We're thankful that Levi is able to be here with us today. And we pray that Arian and Boaz would be able to join us this evening and you would grant rest to Arian this afternoon and even this morning. We pray that you would be with the pastor in Illinois whose wife had a stillborn baby. We pray that you would comfort them both and that family and cause them to grieve well in looking to Christ and faith as their only comfort. Our Father, we ask that you would be praised, that we give you thanks now that you've brought Patty back to us. We're thankful that you've healed her. And Dina is feeling better, that we prayed last Lord's Day for. Father, we pray that you would continue healing those who are not feeling well. Strengthen the weak bones and muscles that we have, that we might serve you and honor you and worship you. Our Father, we ask that you would be glorified, that your name would be praised, and that as you've promised, that all nations would come unto you, that they would bow the knee and covenant with Christ, your Son, and that this nation would turn from their evil and their wickedness and love you and serve you. And we acknowledge that that means there must be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit, as your word tells us. And so we pray that you would pour out your Spirit at the right time. And we pray that we would be patient with you, knowing that this might not be the time. And yet we plead for it all the more. If you have any controversy with us, we pray that you would turn us from it, to turn us from that evil way that we are in, that you would receive us for Christ's sake, and you would cause us to have hearts that mourn and grieve and are sorrowful over our sin, and that we would have great joy as we hear and as we are recipients of the great good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for which we are not ashamed. And so make us to be proclaimers of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.